Chapter 1. Wake-up call. A man faces himself. The present time is of the highest importance. It is time to wake up to reality. The night is nearly over. The day has almost dawned. Let us arm ourselves for the fight of the day. Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Phillips. How many times can a man hear a wake-up call without waking up? Some men, I suppose, never do. This man almost didn't. I've had two major wake-up calls at two crossroads in my life. Neither was much like the gentle ring of an alarm clock. Both were more akin to the crack of a 2x4 across the back of my skull. But I guess you could say I hit the snooze button twice before coming fully awake. The first call came in the heat and terror of Vietnam. I was serving in the 5th Special Forces Group. The last guy who had held my job had just been court-martialed, along with 5 other Green Beret officers who had allegedly crossed a few lines of their own, such as murdering a triple agent. I was the Group Intelligence Operations Officer. In many ways, it was a great job. The Beret's AO, Area of Operation, was essentially the entire country. I was responsible for briefing the old man, Colonel Iron Mike Healy, on the enemy situation around our A-team camps from the Delta in the south to the DMZ in the north. Very few young captains had access to the entire country as I did. Very few could grab aircraft when needed. It was heady stuff for a 25-year-old from Yakima, Washington. One of our functions was associated with flying the SLAR ships, Huey helicopters equipped with side-looking airborne radar. Used to locate enemy troop movement, they flew almost daily. Several of us officers took turns flying with them. On one of the days I was not flying, the ship went down, and one of my fellow officers was killed. When the news was confirmed at headquarters, a thick silence descended. We were all angry, sick, frustrated. Sorry it was him, glad it wasn't us. Somehow it fell to me to collect his personal effects and prepare them for shipping home to his wife. Such a task makes a guy reflect a bit. As I was cleaning out his locker, it dawned on me that he would never see his wife again. He would never be able to tell her, "I'm sorry." For a moment, an uncomfortable thought pricked me, like the tip of a knife blade just breaking the skin. I knew that I'd been living by a second-chance philosophy of life. I'd always figured, hey, if I hurt Linda today, there's always tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll do better. Now, for my friend, there was no tomorrow. One little message came scrolling across the screen of my mind. "Okay, Stu, it could have been you. What if it had been you?" I shook it off. That kind of stuff happened to other people. Other people's choppers went down. Other people died, not me. What I was actually doing was postponing my wake-up call, pushing it away. The alarm was ringing, but I didn't want to hear it. I punched the snooze button and blocked it from my mind. Sometime later, however, the alarm rang again, louder, much louder. It started when I was in midair. I had just jumped out of an airplane with an officer from Second Corps. Ranking soldiers often jump as wind dummies, so the pilot can observe where they land and adjust to the winds and the DZ, drop zone. That way, the rest of the stick, other jumpers, can land where they're supposed to. As I left the right side of the plane, my partner went out the left. In a freak turn of events, we came together under the plane, chest to chest. Instinctively reacting to our training, we pushed away from one another, like marionettes dancing at the end of strings. We cleared, but his chute dropped below me, and I ended up on top of his canopy. Now fully deployed, his canopy was creating a vacuum that was not allowing my chute to open. As trained, I ran across his canopy and jumped, trying to clear it. It didn't work. I tried it again. Still, it didn't work. He landed with me on top of his canopy. It folded around me, rendering my landing blind. I crashed hard, but the flowing adrenaline covered the pain, and we managed to remove the chutes, hide them in the bushes, and wait for the rest of the guys. I was fine, but something felt peculiar. Something inside my chest wasn't right.